think everyone here has heard my testimony before, but I guess it starts, I'll start from the very beginning. When I was just a little child, I went to the Anglican church here in Malanda. Mum would take us every Sunday. For about 5 years we went there, from about the age of 3 through till about the age of 8. My mum's background was Jehovah's Witness. She grew up in that organization, and she struggled with the Trinity belief particularly, but a number of other things that were happening at the Church of England there. And so from there we sort of church hopped for a number of years. Well, maybe for 2 years. Mum was looking for a church that was biblical. In her mind, she didn't find anywhere. And so we ended up just around the family table on a Sunday, reading the Bible for about an hour. And that lasted 18 months to 2 years. So probably from about the age of 12 onwards, my spiritual input, I guess, declined quite a bit. Age of 14, I went into the world deeper than I already was, and I started drinking, and that party lifestyle became my habit. I became addicted to pornography during that time. At the age of then 21, I met my wife, and a short time later we were married. And then we had Jeshua and Noah, and when Noah was 1 and Jeshua was 3, we wanted a Sunday school for the boys to go to. We, even though I wasn't saved and I was in the world, we were there was some input we were doing with the kids, reading them Bible stories. That little children's Bible sitting on the pew there, we would read that to Jeshua and Noah. And so we wanted a Sunday school, and so I went. I knew where Pastor Buddy lived. I was just down the road from the farm, and so I knocked on his door and asked him if he would be allowed to come to Sunday school and what time it was. And so we started coming to Sunday school. That was January 2016, so that's 6 years ago now. And we were only coming for the children. We, both Tia and myself, thought we were okay and didn't see our sinfulness before the Lord. We only came for Sunday school, and then we would leave before the morning service. There was a brother in the Lord, Niels Gade, was preaching one morning, missionary to PNG from America, and I was sitting back on the final pew there on the corner of it, and he preached, I don't know what he preached on, to be honest, but he said something in the message that really related to me, something Mum had always said, and that was to read the Word of God. And so I went home believing I could do that, and I wanted to apply that to my life. He particularly said, try and read some of the Gospels each day. So I started in Matthew, and I got to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 and 28. Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart, and the Lord convicted me of sin. It was about 3 or 4 weeks after that I would give my life to Christ. Chris Smith was actually here preaching. I think it was the end of March, beginning of April, I'm not sure on the dates. But he preached a message, and I was sitting over this side that day with my wife, and he said that there was a need for labourers in East Timor, and my wife and I looked at each other straight away. We had him over for dinner the next night, I think it was, the Monday night, and he was sharing some scriptures in regards to the Trinity, with me. Pastor and I, and Tia, we'd all been going through some studies previous to that. There was a couple of particular verses that I saw, and the Lord used those at Matthew 28:19, where he's baptizing in the name, singular, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, plural. That was one of the verses that the Lord used to engraft in me the word that he is a triune God. And I remember that night I was in bed and I just cried out to the Lord and said, I don't understand the Trinity, Lord, but I don't need to. And I just need to believe it. Your word says it. And so I just praised him for what he'd done for me, thanked him for dying on the cross and forgiving me of my sins. And so that night I was saved, I'm not sure, end of March, beginning of April, coming up 6 years. That's pretty much my testimony of salvation. I don't know how much further you want me to go. Okay, yep. So as I said, Brother Chris was preaching and he said there was a need for laborers. And so I believe the Lord called me actually before I was saved. And the Lord said of Jeremiah, I knew thee and had ordained thee before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5, that's Johnston version, paraphrasing. So I believe I was called before I actually was saved. For the next probably 8 months or so, I struggled with the idea of going somewhere, of leaving the farm. I grew up on the farm, and that's all I ever knew. So I really struggled. I was wrestling with this a bit. My wife was probably more convinced, I believe, than me at that time. But then we actually, be 18 months after we were saved, about that, we lost a child. And that was really the goodness of the Lord, because he got hold of us both and really showed us the importance of eternity. What's going to count, what's going to matter in eternity? And the answer to that was souls, as important to him. And the question was, where does he want us to serve him? And so from that event, we organized time off the farm 6 months later, just for time to go to East Timor, to confirm really if that was what the Lord wanted. Is that where the Lord wanted us? I believe he'd already done that. He'd already confirmed that in his word. He used Luke 9:62, no man putting his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So from that missions survey trip, I guess, since then, which was March 4 years ago, we have been working towards going, I believe, and the Lord has assured us that we're going, and he's given us proofs by open doors in our ministry and the working towards going there with supplying a Tetan teacher and just other doors opening. So our desire, or my desire, I believe I can speak for my wife on this as well, is that we just be in the perfect will of God, and that we try to be obedient to him each and every day. And so that's what we're trying to do. All right. Okay, Tia, it's over to you. You do what you feel comfortable with.
God saved me when I was 26 years old. I'm kind of reading a bit because I get nervous and then I'll just make up whatever I want to. And so I'm just rejoicing that the Lord would save a sinner like me. So the Lord worked on me since I was a baby and I went to Sunday school, and that was pretty much, I went to RI. That was pretty much all my input as a child of anything to do with Jesus. And I really enjoyed RI and Sunday school, but then I got to the age of teenager and high school, and the world, took out any seeds. Well, the seeds were still there, I suppose, but yeah, the world just took over for me. But then as I got older and I got married and I lost a baby, I miscarried a baby, and then I started reading the Bible because James's mum had left Bibles in our house, like a whole suitcase. So praise the Lord for that. And so when she left the Bibles, I just started reading the Word when I lost this baby. But every book I've ever read, you read from the beginning. So I read from Genesis. And I never got to the New Testament about Jesus. But that was the Lord's plan, because I wasn't ready to be saved then. So I was reading this Bible, but then I stopped reading and got busy with the world again, just trying to be successful. The world tells you that, like, if you have a career and you're married and you've got kids and you've got a house and you've got a car, you've got a really good job, you're successful, you'll be happy. And I got to that point and I wasn't happy. And I said, well, what's missing? I've still got this hole there. So the Lord knew my feelings of this emptiness and this hole that just, I've got all these things but no happiness. And even my husband, like, I have a husband, still not happy. So the Lord knew where I was at. But it came to the point that I just got really low, that in our marriage and with kids and the farm and just being so low that we, like James said, we wanted to bring the kids to Sunday school. We said, they're little rat bags, they're going to go to Sunday school. You know, they need God. And we needed God. And so the Lord just used that. The preaching of the gospel, praise the Lord that Pastor was preaching the gospel. And just the piercing of the word to my heart. I was ready, received it, believed it, had faith like a child. And I thank the Lord that I'm saved.
Now is get James to give us his statement of faith. We talked over it a couple of days ago, and I really appreciated what he laid out. So he's going to tell us this, and then afterward we'll examine him, ask him questions. If you think of some, would anybody like some paper to write any questions down? Can you remember things? Okay, all right. James is going to hand out copies of his doctrinal statement. That's fine. And if you want to mark anything down that you want to ask him further about, while he's doing that, I might just mention to you, we've got a minute up our sleeve here. All of you are familiar with the format we think is appropriate for doctrinal examination. And that is, of course, that it's not an opportunity for us to preach to the candidate. It's an opportunity for him to preach to us. And so our questions need to be in the form of a question, not in the form of a sermon. And so if you have something you'd like to ask him about, please phrase it as a question. And we'll try to be as, as wise as possible in the use of our time. I guess we could ask a question it took 20 minutes to say and needed a 30-second answer, so let's use our time wisely. we'll do that. I think we'll have an opportunity to ask everything you can think of. Don't hesitate to ask. Now, that's just the preachers asking the questions. So, Clem, if you'll get that roll of duct tape out of the back room back there and give some to Will and to Cam, because we'll just have the preachers asking the questions. All right. But first, James is going to give us a doctrinal statement. Thank you.
All right. So, have a copy of two. So one is, you'll find that there's no references on that, and that's, we'll go through both. We'll start with the one without references, the loose sheet of paper, that is. So this is just what's in my heart. This is what some things the Lord has taught me that he wants me to share with you and with others. I want to share, and God wants me to tell everyone about the Savior and what he has done for me and what he can do for them. I want to share with them of Jesus Christ, of his incarnation, his earthly ministry, his finished work on Calvary, and his imminent return. That he is God manifest in the flesh, that he is the second person of the Godhead, and I've forgotten to give Pastor one. I apologize. That there is one God, that he exists, one eternal God, sorry, that he exists as three co-equal, co-eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three possessing the same attributes. I will share with them about the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, his work in regeneration, the spiritual gifts he imparts, and his part in sanctification. I will share of the eternal security of the believer, being sealed by the Holy Spirit from the time of regeneration unto the day of redemption, of the believer's home in heaven to be with our Savior for all eternity, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. I have a desire that believers grow in the Lord and are busy about serving him, striving to be separated under God with a life of personal holiness, striving to be like Christ. This is part of the Lord's calling, I believe, for all believers, that we would make disciples and then disciple believers to live a holy life. I believe that there is a personal call to the ministry, and that the Lord has called me to the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The work of sanctification in the believer is both the work of the Holy Spirit and a work of the believer. In fact, it's the work of all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to share with people of the sinfulness of man, that all have come short of the glory of God, that salvation is a gift, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works which we have done, but according to the finished work that he, Christ, has done. I will share with them of the truth of Scripture, of the literal hell that awaits the unrepentant sinner, and of their eternal destiny in the lake of fire with a body that will not be destroyed. And there to be with the devil and his angels, the beast and the false prophet. I want to share with them of things to come, of the rapture of the church, the wrath of God that will be poured out on the earth, and of his millennial kingdom. I believe I have to share with them of the infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient, verbally inspired word of God that is given to us in 66 books for our sole authority and for the conduct of every believer. I will share of biblical marriage, the union between a man and a woman. I will teach them of the priesthood of all believers, having equal access to God with no need of an earthly priest. Of the local church and the ordinances given to the church, which are two, baptism and the Lord's table. These are just some of the important truths that are in my heart that are burdened to share. So the next is pretty much the same. It's got references. There's probably a little bit more in here, so we'll just go through it by points. Number one, I believe that the Bible in its original writings to be the verbally inspired word of God. It is infallible, inerrant, and all-sufficient, and has been preserved by God. It is given to us in 66 books as our sole authority and for the conduct of the believer. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20-21. Point two, I believe that there is one God, Isaiah 45:5, that exists in three co-equal, co-eternal persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:7 and Matthew 28:19. Point three, I therefore believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God and came to earth born of a virgin, Matthew 1:18 and verses 22-25, grew in wisdom and stature, Luke 2:40-52, having the natures of both God and man, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. He came with the purpose to redeem his people, to reconcile us to God through his sacrificial death. Point four, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwells every believer from the moment of salvation, Ephesians 1:13, and gives spiritual gifts as he wills to the believer to be used to edify the body of Christ, which is other believers, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He is at work reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, John 16:8. Point five. I believe in the personality of the devil, that after the 7-year tribulation, he will be bound for 1,000 years, then loosed for a season, Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 to 3, before going to the lake of fire forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse 10, being already judged, John chapter 16, verse 11. Point 6, I believe in a literal heaven and hell. The person who is in Christ will go to heaven either by death or by rapture, whichever they meet first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 and 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 18. That there is now present a hell for all that die in Adam without being in Christ, that's unsaved, where the soul is in a conscious state and is tormented. Luke 16 verses 19 through to 31. The unsaved will be judged at the second resurrection, the resurrection of the dead, before the great white throne, Revelation 20, 12 to 13, and cast into the lake of fire to spend eternity with the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, with a body that cannot be destroyed, Revelation 20, verses 10 and 15. Point 7. All mankind before salvation is in a fallen state, condemned in the eyes of God, John 3:18. Not all mankind are equally sinful, yet all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Although man is in a fallen state and is spiritually dead, I believe that God has given man the ability to see his lost estate, his sinfulness, and to make a choice in regards to the light given him, Romans 1:19-20. Point 8, I believe that salvation is by grace through faith, completely apart from works, Ephesians 2:8-9, that the believer has eternal security, meaning that salvation cannot be lost, once saved, always saved, John 3:36. Only by the work of Christ, his substitutionary death, that is, he lived the life that we could not, he died in our place, bearing the wrath of God. The penalty for my sin was put on his account and paid by him, and his righteousness was applied to my account. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans chapter 4, verse 5 to 6, and Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Point 9, after we are saved, God begins a work in us to conform us to the image of Christ. Philippians 1:6 and Romans 8:29. This process of sanctification is both a work of God and a work of the believer. 2 Timothy 2:21. Point 10. I believe that marriage is the union of a man to a woman. This marriage is only to end in the death either of the man or the woman. Matthew 19, verse 5 to 6. Divorced persons cannot remarry because in the eyes of the Lord they are still one flesh. That should say Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Remarriage can only happen when one of the persons has died or the divorced persons have reconciled and desire again to be married to one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I believe remarriage is always read into these passages to fulfill the lust of their hearts. Point 11. I believe that each local church is self-governing under the headship of Christ, Ephesians 1:22, and that God works through the local church for missions, according to Acts 13:1-3, for discipline, 1 Corinthians 5, instituting ordinances and offices held in the church. References for them would be 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the ordinances and Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 and Titus chapter 1 and I can't think of the verse off the top of my head for that one. The church has been given two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism is by immersion of the believer, picturing what has already been done by the Holy Spirit and happened inwardly, the death of the old man, burial and raised in newness of life, Matthew 28:19 and Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Lord's Supper consists of unleavened bread, picturing the sinless body of Christ, and the unfermented grape juice, picturing the sinless atoning blood of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. I believe in the priesthood of all believers, 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9, and therefore that each believer has access to God and has no need of an earthly priest, Jesus Christ being the mediator between man and God, 1 Timothy 2:5. But that God places us under the authority of under-shepherds, pastors, that watch for our souls, Hebrews 13:17. Point 12, I believe that the Lord will catch away his bride, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, before the seven-year tribulation in which the Lord will pour out his wrath on the earth, Revelation chapters 6, 8, 9, and 10. Jesus Christ will return with his saints and take his seat on the throne of David, where he will rule for 1,000 years, Revelation 19:11 through to 16 and chapter 20, verse 4. And we will rule and reign with him. Amen. All right, that ends my doctrinal statement.